Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, Renew Church New Zealand. How are we doing in Whangarei? It is so good to be with you this morning. We send you greetings from a very sunny Scotland. I'm only joking, but we send you greetings from Scotland, and right away we have one problem. Some of you sitting there today are thinking, is this guy speaking English? Yes, I am. It's just my strong Scottish accent. And there's two things we can do. One is you can pray to God that someone in the church is going to write a transcript of this. Or two, my preferred option is you can rely on the Holy Spirit and pray that I can speak clearly, but maybe you can have the interpretation of tongues. So we greet you all the way from Scotland. If you don't know, Scotland is just like New Zealand, but a wee, wee bit further. It is a beautiful nation, and it's also very, very cold. It's governed by two kings, Mel Gibson and Shrek. Don't know if you've heard of them. They reside in the Edinburgh Castle, and at night time that they go and hunt for haggis. On a serious note, though, if those who don't know me, my name is Stephen, and along with my beautiful and amazing wife, Karis, we have the privilege and the honour, really, to lead Renew Church in Scotland and really to serve, you know, this nation and the continent of UK and Europe. So we're so honoured just to be with you today. You know, Pastor Simon and Christy, they're away in sabbatical, and they asked me just to come one Sunday just to record a message for you guys. We absolutely love you. And they asked me just to do that. So but while they're away, let's just keep praying for them. While they're on a sabbatical, let's pray that God downloads God dreams into them, that they're refreshed, that they're rejuvenated, that they come back with more fire than they already carry. May they be encouraged in the season. But also, I know a lot of you guys are taking charge over there while we're away. Let's put our weight behind those guys who are taking charge. Let's support them, let's encourage them, and also let's pray to them. So I just want to share a very simple message with you guys today. And that message is called Spirit Comes, Church Goes. Spirit Comes, Church Goes. And I want to read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. That's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. And this is in the NIV. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blown of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard of their own language being spoken. You know, a lot of times I just thought there was one thing happening in this verse. This is a verse I've read many times, and I'm also sure that you've read it many times. Always thought there's one thing, and there definitely is one thing happening. And that one thing that definitely is happening is that what's happening is the power of the Holy Spirit is coming on the early church to empower them to fulfill the Great Commission that we read in the previous chapters. The previous chapter, you shall be my witnesses until the end of the earth. But God's not just doing one thing. He's actually doing two things, not just one, but two. You see, he's stirring one thing in the church. He's stirring boldness and inspiration to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, out in the streets, the Spirit is also doing something. He is stirring questions and curiosity. So you could say one group, the church, is prepared to speak, but at the same time, another group is prepared to listen. One group is prepared to share the love of God and the things of Jesus. At the same time, another group is prepared to receive that message. You know, there was one of my friend's churches in Sweden was really believing this and really just dreaming what this could mean. If they came together and they would just worship Jesus and be filled and be inspired and be empowered, but the world was also listening, what could that mean? Could it be a school person, a person, a friend at school? Could it be a work colleague? Could it be a neighbour who was just at that time ready to listen with the message that you're prepared to share? And you know, there was this story of many, many miracles, but one of many, that there was this Muslim refugee who came to Sweden, and he moved an hour north of their city, and he was just trying to settle in. But something amazing started happening. Each night, over and over and over again, he would have the same dream. And this would be a dream of this large auditorium with thousands of people standing like this. And this dream just kept coming over and over that he couldn't get it out of his head. So he started going to his city and going up to random strangers and saying, hey, do you know where the large auditorium is with thousands of people standing like this? And, you know, in Europe and especially in Sweden, they don't speak to you. There's no interaction, you know. You don't go up and speak to a stranger. You don't approach it. People think you're crazy if you do that. If a person from their size, that's them in intense anger. And so they thought he was a crazy man because he was asking strangers this question. But he thought to himself, he says, it's a large auditorium. Maybe they'll have it in the nation's capital in Stockholm. So he gets on the train and goes to Stockholm. As he goes to Stockholm, the last city it passes is Uppsala, where my friend's church is in. And he goes to Stockholm, he gets off onto the platform. This man comes up to him that he's never seen in his life before, comes up to him and says, sorry, you've got on one stop too far, get back on the train and go one stop back. He says, okay. And he just goes back on the train and goes back to Uppsala. And then as he comes off, the first person he meets, he says, excuse me, do you know the large auditorium with thousands of people standing like this? And he says, yes, that's the church. Everybody knows that. And he gets directions to go to church, and it's on a Saturday night where they're having this big gospel event. It's a big gospel outreach event, and as he walks in, everybody is worshiping, standing like this, and the pastor is giving the altar call, saying that Jesus loves you and has a plan for your life. And at that moment, he comes in and he hears the gospel and receives Jesus into his heart as a Lord and Savior. I think, wow, just the heavenly planning that went into that, that got this guy from the Middle East to Sweden and then has this dream on repeat until he has to go and ask strangers and they reject him. That makes him think that he has to go to Stockholm to an angel on the platform, then to come to the city of Sala, and then to come in just at the precise time that they were given the altar call to preach the gospel and receive Jesus. And he said the place was like he's seen in his dreams, had the same colour scheme, he could see the balconies, had the same backdrop, had all the people standing there like that. It just shows you how much God loves the one. You know, he is truly preparing us to speak, but he's also preparing the world to listen more than we realise. So you may be thinking, Stephen, well, what do we do then? What is our part to play? Well, two things, my friends, two things. The first thing is, dare to believe that the Holy Spirit is with you. Dare to believe that the Holy Spirit is with you. We see in John 14, Jesus for the first time goes into depth and detail with his disciples about the Holy Spirit. And in John 14, verse 16, it says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. When Jesus introduces us to the Holy Spirit, the first thing he wants you to know is not that the Holy Spirit is big and powerful, although he is, not that he will give you goosebumps and an emotional experience, although he might. The first thing Jesus wants you to know about the Holy Spirit is that he will never, ever, ever leave you. He will always be there. That means there will be days when you feel like his presence, and oh, how we love those days. But there will also mean there will be days we'll feel like he's not there. But let me tell you, friends, he's just as much there. Now, hear me out. The Holy Spirit is not with you because you feel him. He's with you because Jesus promised that he would be. And Jesus never lies. You know, one of my pastor friends was going on a trip, was on a plane. He was going to this country to speak at an Easter conference. And as he was on the plane, he had his Bible out and he was preparing his heart and his mind and his soul for the messages. And, you know, and it was all Europeans on this plane, majority who, from an outward perspective, we could say are very introverted. So really quiet plane. And so he's there, but next to him is a man that is, let's just say, is XXL in every direction. And not only is he large, he's also really, really drunk. The pastor says, I was getting intoxicated just by the fumes from him, that he was drunk and he was loud and obnoxious and he had a solo performance and he was telling his whole life story, whether people like to hear it or not, and he kept on punching the pastor and hitting him, and as he was telling his story, and it was a real annoyance to him. He said, oh, I wanted to be so holy, you think I was praying for his salvation, but I was really just praying for him to get upgraded, downgraded, or any grade just to move a seat. And as he was going on with this and on about his story and just upsetting people, really, the captain comes on the speaker and says, there is a storm that's happening where we're supposed to be landing. We will not be able to land tonight. We're going to need to reroute the plane and try again in the morning. And everybody in the plane's like, oh. But this, and the pastor's drunk friend, he started going crazy. He's like, no, you put this plane down now. I want to see my family. I've not seen my family in years. I need to see my family. Get this plane down now. You will land this plane. And he's going off in one. And then he turns around to the pastor, looks at him, looks at his Bible, then looks at him and he says, you better pray that this plane lands tonight. My friend thinks for a while and he says, no. He says, I will only pray if you pray with me. Now the whole plane's watching this, thinking, oh, what's going to happen here? And he says, no, I don't believe in God. It's interesting that he wanted him to pray for a God he doesn't believe in. He says, I don't believe in God. And he says, well, if you won't pray with me, I will pray. And he thinks for a while and he turns around to them and says, if I pray with you, will this plane definitely land tonight? The whole plane's watching. What is the Bible guy going to say? And he says he was just searching for something. Was it a word of knowledge? Was there something within his spirit? Was there writing on the wall saying, yes, you will land tonight? Was angels coming? And he says, absolutely nothing. There was absolutely nothing in him. The only thing he had to go was a promise and the word that the Holy Spirit would never leave him, that he is always there. And so he takes the deepest breath of his life and he says, yes, oh, so help me, God. And so the drunk friend, he puts his hands together, bows his head, and they pray. And the pastor said he prayed the longest prayer that he's ever prayed. He prayed the extended version. He prayed the director's cut. He prayed for his family, his extended family, even his family's pets. And at last, he finally says, and God, please let this plane land tonight. Amen. And his friend said, amen. No joke, 5 seconds later, the captain comes on the speaker and says, surprisingly, the storm has cleared up and we're going to be able to land tonight. We're going to be able to land tonight. And as I said, my friend was thinking there was nothing there. The only thing he had to go on with, was not his emotions, but the word of God, that Jesus said that he will never leave him. And see, when we do that, when we are prepared to do that, that's when the world will connect with you and ready to listen to what you have to share. And number two is step out the boat. Number two is to step out the boat. There's a beautiful picture in Matthew, beautiful story, really, in Matthew 14, where the disciples and Peter are in the boat and Jesus says, to Peter, come. You know, and the thing is, we need to put ourselves in Peter's shoes. Like, you know, we read Peter was a fisherman. He was a fisherman probably all his life. His family from generations probably fishermen. We see in Matthew 4, he says that he was a son of a fisherman. So one thing that Peter knew was about fish and how to fish. He knew about boats. He knew to get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee that you're going to need a boat. He knew about that. But, you know, the boat wasn't just a boat. It represents many things. The boat represents our safety zone. The boat represents our comfort zone. The boat represents a place where we have full control, just like Peter had in his boat. It's beautiful to me when Jesus, when he first comes into contact and builds a relationship with Jesus, he actually comes into Peter's boat. How beautiful that Jesus comes to Peter on Peter's terms. He's not demanding that Peter will take big, great steps of faith. Jesus comes to Peter inside his zone of security, inside his zone of safety, inside his zone of control. But as the relationship grows and emerges, there comes a day when Jesus says, come and walk on, well, Jesus walks in the water and says to Peter, come. There's nothing wrong with your experience. There's nothing wrong with your boat. There's nothing wrong with the area that you have full control. But there is more. There is more. In order for you to see more, you need to take a step of faith. You need to do something you've never done before so you can see something that you've never seen before. And I don't know what your boat is right now today, Renew Church in New Zealand. And I don't know where you are with Jesus today, but I know one thing. There will be a day in your life where Jesus will say, come. And everything inside you will want to stay inside that comfort zone, in that place where you know and are familiar. When that place where you have full control, but if you dare to step out the boat, there is a miracle on the other side of that step. There is a huge miracle on the other side of that step. You know, one of my friends in North Europe, there was, you may have known back 3 or 4 years ago, there was a big crisis in Europe with refugees coming, that they were fleeing the country from wars and from ISIS and then from Afghanistan and Iran and coming in inflatable boats, and they were aiming, their goal was to get to Greece, the southern tip of Europe. They were aiming to get there, but as soon as they would get to Greece, they would walk on foot to North Europe because there was there that they could be there. Now, and this causes a lot of problems economically. People in their own countries are trying to survive with their own people and all this stuff. So a lot of people are upset, and I'm not trying to make a political statement whatsoever. I'm just trying to tell you the way it is. A lot of people are upset. They say this causes problems. There's more people to feed. There's more people to house. There's more. We don't want homeless. We don't want refugee camps everywhere in our countries. This is what people are thinking. And, you know, my friends thought, what if this was an opportunity in this crisis? What if there's an opportunity in this crisis? And they dared to step out the boat. They dared to step out the buildings of their church. And so what they done was they got to Greece and they set up in the refugee camp a Welcome to Europe station. A Welcome to Europe station. But they also noticed on the way from Greece to where their mother church was, where their home base was, that they had a lot of church plants. And so what they've done is they made a map so you could tour through all the churches. And what they would do in the churches is they would feed them, they would clothe them, they would have health care. But more important than that, they would preach Jesus to them. And they would go through all this, and they kept on saying time and time again, why do you welcome us with open arms? And they would say time and time again, because as Christians, this is not our message. This is our message. And amazing stuff started happening as they got to the home church. They even had a big sign saying, refugees welcome, refugees welcome. And amazing stuff started happening, an outpouring of the supernatural happened. They started to have dreams and visions about Jesus, and many of them who were Muslims, many of them who were ex-Muslims, now would receive Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. So many hundreds of them made that decision at this time because a church stepped out the boat and seen it not is a limitation, but it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to love our neighbours. It's an opportunity to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. They can never at that time go to Iran or Afghanistan, but now they were on the doorstep. What were they going to do? Were they going to stay in their boat, or were they going to get outside their boat and share the love of Jesus with these people? And so many of them actually became Christians that the church had to start its own special Bible school for ex-Muslims. And in 2 years only, my friends, 400 of them has graduated from that school. You know, and the pastor tells a story that he was in church just worshipping and just felt trembling inside as he looked back and seen all these ex-Muslims who used to bow down to a false god are now raising their hands up to the Lamb that was slain. But he says, what if we didn't step out the boat? We would have missed this whole thing. We would have missed this revival. We would have missed this outpouring of the supernatural. He said that I would have missed being a pastor to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these ex-Muslims. I don't know where you're called to go, but I know as you step out your boat, it's a miracle on our side. And it's not going to just be for you. It's going to be for so many other people.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.